I speak to you in the name of the one who is coming into the world, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As Advent begins today, it's as if we all find ourselves in the last few weeks of pregnancy. A pregnancy with whom, exactly? With God? But how can God be born in us? Who or what is growing among us? Who is coming to be? I will not always be preaching about pregnancy and birth. But when I do, it might be that we are in or near the season of Advent. And since my husband Andy, who is also a priest, this morning is filling in for another local priest whose wife had a baby early yesterday, and as we just celebrated the birthday of our older son a few weeks ago, who in the year he was born, happened to be born on the first Sunday of Advent, it seems like, well, here we are. 'Tis the season. So a little over 7 years ago, late in pregnancy with such first child, Andy and I were thinking more concretely about how to name this one who was coming to be. We had chosen not to learn the gender as simply one way to allow ourselves to be even more surprised by who God was giving us. Who was this one who was about to be born into our lives? How would we welcome him or her? Who would she or he come to be? What would be important to her or him? What would he love to do? How would he shine? What would make her face just light up? What would be hard for him? How would he struggle? Who was this one who was coming to be? As I, if I dare use these words, pondered all these things in my heart, you may recognize that Mary did those same things about Jesus. As I pondered, I remembered a time when God showed me what it is to be at home, just as I am. Growing up, I went to church at least once each Sunday, with my mom at her Catholic parish in our neighborhood, and also with my dad, usually wherever he might be singing that day, whether it was a Presbyterian church for a long time, or a Congregational church, or wherever he had a concert that weekend. I was in church at least once a Sunday. When I was in middle school and high school, it began to strike me that unlike our Rite 13 and Journey to Adulthood, or J2A, programs here, the Sunday school at the parish where I was growing up had prepared me less to ask and dwell in questions of faith, questions of myself, and more to rehearse and clench answers. And I'm sure we're all familiar with that type of pattern in our own lives of faith. It was such that when I got to college and found myself immersed in questions of so many different kinds, among those questions, those about God that my friends of many different backgrounds were asking me, I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know what to say. And that's not a bad thing. But I was so at a loss for words that it was all I could do. But when I got home for a break from college, informed my mom that I would just no longer be going to church. And my mom's face changed. And she steeled herself in her deep Catholic devotion. And she did not accept my collegiate boldness and said that I would actually be going to church. And not only that, but that I would sit down and speak with the priest one-on-one. Now, the priest was the very last person in the world that I wanted to talk with, because he, in my mind, exemplified all of the unanswerable questions, and among them, the striking hypocrisies with which I was immersed. For example, if the words that we rehearse on Sundays about God are of God's love for justice and mercy, God's steadfastness in our lives, God's care for all people, especially the vulnerable, then why in the world we experience is there so much suffering and pain, especially for those among us who are so vulnerable, that is to say, each one of us? Where was the justice that God loves? And furthermore, in this talk of God's love for justice, there seemed to be so much talk of God's judgment, such that it was very hard to imagine how any one of us could be considered good or enough before God. So why then would I want to talk about God with a priest of all people? But I went in, and it was one of those times where, you know that saying, you might not remember what somebody said, but you remember how they make you feel? Because I don't remember what this priest said. I do remember that he listened. And he didn't stop me in my delivery of my many grievances and complaints and struggles and, yes, questions in the faith. He listened. He did not try to argue with me. He did not try to rationalize. He did not try to persuade me. He did not tell me that I was wrong. He may well have sent me away to say a certain number of Hail Marys and Our Fathers. But I do remember how he made me feel. And it was a new feeling for me in that context. He made me feel that in the sight of God, I was enough. And I was good. Good enough for God. In the midst of my many misgivings and struggles and wrestling and questions, I was good and I was enough. And therein I was at home. So Owen is named after St. Owen Parish in Bloomfield Hills. where I first had that sense that I was at home in God and in myself. And Andy's and my wish for this one who is coming to be was that he may know, whoever he is, wherever he goes, whatever he does, whatever he asks, that he may always have a home in himself and in God, and God willing, among us as parents and family and people of God. Who is this one who is coming among us? Who are you coming to be? Amen.